This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Welcome back to the Leadership Collective podcast. I'm Rob Salvato, and today is part two in our conversation with Pastor Nate Holdridge. We're talking about the subject of knowing our limitations as a pastor and a leader. Paul Tripp, in his book Lead, has an excellent chapter on limits. He writes, "Every leader is a package of God-given gifts and God-assigned limits. Everyone and everything has been designed by God with limits, and it never works or never results in anything good to attempt to live, minister, and lead outside of the boundaries of the limits that God has set." So in part two of this conversation on limitations, Nate, Ted, and myself are discussing how we need to develop healthy rhythms in our leadership in order to avoid leading outside the boundaries that God has set for us in a particular season of life and ministry. And so now, here is part two of our conversation with Pastor Nate Holdridge.
So, you know, we're talking all about these, our limitations, and it's cool to be in touch with them, but we have to come up with rhythms that work for us, that respect mm-hmm. these limitations. So how has healthy rhythms, how have they played a part in all of this for you guys? Maybe Ted, you could speak into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I love the word that you've used. You actually have mentioned it several times. You talk about margin. And I was really guilty for a lot of years that I used a Franklin planner, and I would have every appointment, everything that I had scheduled. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I became a lot more efficient than I naturally am with that, using that system. But I had just as by way of an example, I would have counseling from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., and I would have another counseling appointment 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., and then I'd have a meeting, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., right? And what that equates to is there is no margin. Right. There's no space between the two. And I just learned that simple concept of margin, and I wish I could remember who first taught it to me, because I heard it on the radio. I think it was on a guest on Focus on the Family who was talking about margin. And I thought, that's brilliant. First of all, because counseling appointments always run late anyway.
Big time.
And secondly, just because, having a little breathing room in between makes a lot more difference than you think, yeah. Right? So that was part of that rhythm of going, okay, I need to schedule 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour in between my appointments.
Just to go to bathroom.
Well, because when you run from one thing to the next, the stress is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah.
That was good. And then that also helped me in establishing margin, taking that same principle, and applying it to the bigger question here, which is, what should I be doing and what shouldn't I be doing? And I needed to come to this place where I recognized, just as I wasn't allowing any space between these things in my physical schedule, I'm really not allowing I'm filling up available space within my limited amount of time with things that I've got no business doing. Mm-hmm. And that takes, as we said earlier, that takes a lot of introspection. It takes some humility. Mm-hmm. To be able to say, I'm not good at this,
yeah,
and I shouldn't be doing this. And sometimes the stuff that you say that you shouldn't be doing is stuff that maybe you like or would like to be doing, mm-hmm. and you just go, yeah, I might like that, but there's other people who can do it better, and they should be doing it.
And I think when we realize that, one of the blessings in that is that, we end up freeing somebody else mm-hmm. to use their gifts and be used. And it sounds like in this conversation that Nate understood this a lot maybe sooner than you and I did.
Well, Nate's smarter than you, you and me.
To where, I don't know why I went into ministry just thinking that I had to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I lived that way for the longest time. And same thing as you, packed my schedule, you know, way fuller than it should ever be, and was running late to every single meeting because every meeting ran over. And, you know, coming to that place where, you know, giving space, giving margin was so important. And then coming to that place also of recognizing that, you know, these are the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And there's other people who I'm actually opening up a door, an opportunity for other people to use their gifts, mm-hmm. who are way more gifted at, you know, this particular thing than I am. Or, you know, maybe we're equally as gifted, but because of my lack of margin, I go into that situation, you know, with half of my energy, half of my brain, where they're able to give their all, you know, right. to it. And so the only thing I think I would mention in this is that when it comes to just switching gears or picking up something new, I'll use that term, you know, picking up something new, maybe something that, you know, God is calling me to. And I'll give an example in this, that the idea of when I'm picking up something new, oftentimes that means I have to let go of something old. And so in our church, my wife and I started our marriage ministry that we do. And it was one of those burdens that just wouldn't go away. And I tried to get five or six different people to lead this ministry. And I had the vision, I had the plan. And after, you know, a couple of years of it just never getting started, God was like, you need to do this. And so we did it. And we did it probably for 8 years. But just in the last few years, as, you know, I've gotten more involved in, like, you know, this ministry that we're doing to pastors and leading cohorts, that was one of the things that I let go of, that mm-hmm. I gave it to my marriage and family pastor and said, you know, hey, you're going to do this with me this year. And then after this, you're going to do this, you
right.
know? And sometimes we're not even there anymore. You know, they just do it.
And I love how you thought ahead to do that too.
Cause yeah.
some, that's part of margin too, right?
Yes.
Is that you're not just tackling it. Like, who am I going to dump this off on now? You
right.
know, but you're thinking ahead to say, who am I going to prepare for this?
Yeah, I think one of the best things that we can learn to do in ministry is to be proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah, leading the target.
Yeah,
kind
we're
of
leading
thing.
The target instead of just reacting to, oh my gosh, you know, we got to do something now, that we're proactive in preparing, that there's a plan. And I think that is born out of knowing your limitations.
Yeah, and it also is helped by not being exhausted, right?
Yeah.
going into it. And if you are exhausted, then that's the first place to start. Okay, what do I?
Unburden. Sorry, I was just going to say that's a lot of where margin comes in, especially in ministry work. We in one sense need more margin than lots of other professions because there is a huge amount of pastoral and ministry work that is responsive.
Yes.
Like we have to respond to
yep.
problems, and we need to be available for people when they have needs that arise. We
right.
can't plan those, you know,
yeah.
they don't fit into the day timer.
Yeah.
So I always try to have like a measure of understanding with the people that I'm working with, when they're making their plans, I try to be the voice that's like, okay, scale it back to something more doable,
mm-hmm.
because this plan that you've made, it's great, but when are you going to meet with a guy one-on-one? When
yeah.
are you going to be available for an emergency counseling? You're so maxed.
Mm.
So having that margin, it helps you actually do a little bit of the responding while still leading from the front.
Mm. That's good. That's really good. I heard Pete Scazzaro, is that how you say his name? The healthy.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He said that this kind of fits in with what we're talking about, but I just thought about this, that your body is a major prophet, not a minor prophet. And, you know, just learning how to listen to your body and how the Holy Spirit and the Lord will speak through your body. And, you know, when you're sensing and feeling like that fatigue and stuff, that could be God's way of trying to show you, you know, what a limitation might be. But let's shift gears and talk for a few minutes about the limitations for a church. We've been talking about it for the pastor as a whole.
Right.
But I think all of our churches also have limitations. You know, your church can't do everything well. So how important is it for you as a pastor and as your staff, you know, to know what's the role and purpose of your church in your community? So I'm wondering, how do you guys approach that for your church? And how do you maybe even approach that in relationship to the missions work that you're involved in? Any thoughts?
I'll let you go first, Nate. That's a huge question.
Sure. Yeah. The only thing I was going to say is, I mean, first of all, I'm so encouraged listening to you guys and talking with you today, because it's encouraging me to double back and continue to be hyper clear on what our mission is as a church, because I've found that if left to itself, a church just naturally becomes more expansive in what it does, more complex in what it does, and not always in good ways. So for me, I've always tried to be very specific in our mission statement. So I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, like every church, you know, there's like the up and in and out, or, you know, however you want to say it, there's the three things, right? You know, but in our in, which for us is growing together or growing in Christ, instead of saying that we have a value for community, what we say is we have a value here for community through our life groups ministry. Mm-hmm. You see how that, for us, it just narrows it down. It's not that we don't have a value for Christian community that's outside of our small groups ministry. It's just that we know we don't have the bandwidth to like run all that. And we know that the word community is so broad that it's like anything under the sun could have, you know, well, I want to start a flag football league with Christians because community, and I want to start a left-handed golfers with a plus 14 handicap ministry because community, you know? So being specific there, here's another example. In our last leg, you know, sharing Christ, I've said, what we want to do there is we want to do acts of mercy and we want to plant churches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even acts of mercy is pretty broad, but because we have had so much traction in addiction and recovery and all of that in our community, as well as the social services in the Monterey County, we felt that was good enough of a parameter for us. We wanted to be known for and prioritize that. And then we wanted to aim our efforts towards raising people up to be able to plant churches. And what I've noticed is that over time, whenever I leave that alone, those specifics get bigger and bigger. Mm. And other people on my team start adding to them to where pretty soon it just sounds like, well, pretty much anything we want to do, we just put it in the mission statement after we've been doing it for a little while. So That's a way that we've done it.
It's like Charlie Brown shooting the arrow into the fence and then drawing the circle around, you know, the bullseye around it. Somebody once said to me, you know, pointing out the Apostle Paul, he said, this one thing I do. They said, he said, this one thing I do, not these 10 things I dabble in, you know, kind of thing. I think it's really important for, and it starts with us as those of us that are senior pastors to have put in the concerted work of prayerfully seeking the Lord to be able to discern what have you called me and my church to, and being able to answer that question, what are we called to? And for us, looking at, you know, where it starts geographically, where's God put us? And I'm in a suburb of, you know, we're a town of maybe 100,000 people. It's predominantly young families. And so that's the environment that we're in. So our ministry focuses tend to focus on the family, on the young family, you know? And so that'll inform some of the things that we're doing, some of the things that we invest in. And then we also filter through fruit. What is it that's fruitful, that's bearing fruit? As an example of that, we would do an annual harvest party. And and we spend a lot of money on it, even as a little church. You know, we're spending, you know, as a little church, spending a few thousand dollars on this event. And after doing it a couple of years, I just stood back and I was like, what is the fruit of this? And I didn't like the answer. And then they're really, I mean, in 3 years, we had led one person to the Lord through this thing that we, you know, could quantify. And I just thought, this is a waste of time and money and resources. And so I said, from now on, we're going to put all of this money into VBS. And we really watched God just bless that and multiply that. And we leaned heavily into that. And that's just one example of kind of how we do it. So, you know, recognize, and then as I think you pointed out, Nate, that you have people coming to you saying, you know, why don't we have this ministry? Why don't we have that ministry? You know, why don't we have a golfing ministry? Why don't we have, and being able to just say, we can't do all that. We have to triage the resources that we've got.
Right.
Triage is a French word. It means to do the most good for the most number of people. And so we have to focus on stewardship demands that we do the most good for the most number of people. And every church is going to answer that differently depending on the context that they're in.
I love that. You know, for us, it kind of focuses around definitely our mission, but also, you know, that idea of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth, and just knowing, okay, what is our purpose and what's the burden that God has given us in those three areas?
Right.
And so for our Jerusalem, okay, that's our church first, our body, and how we want to take care of them and feed them, and the emphasis that we place on, you know, the teaching of the Word of God, and, you know, that's preeminent, and then, you know, the building of community with the body and the different groups, settings that we offer. But then it's also our city. And, you know, so we're involved in several different things in our city that we feel like we have margin for. You know, we do a food distribution thing for our city. We do a thing with showers for the homeless in our city. We're involved in a homeless shelter ministry, helping people get replaced. And we're doing Bible studies there. And a lot of people from that have come and gotten saved. And that's been, you know, amazing. And so that's our Jerusalem. And those things that come up, it's like, does it fit within our burden and our calling to, you know, connect people to Jesus and disciple people in Jesus? That's like our focus for Jerusalem. But then our Judea and Samaria are, you know, the things that happen outside. And like you guys, I mean, Nate does it because he doesn't do email anymore, but I get emails all the time from people, hey, can you help us with this? Can you get involved in this? And one of the things that God has shown us that this is our focus is that we want to be about, this is the burden, the passion that God has given us, is to church plant and to come alongside other churches and church planters. So our Jerusalem in Judea has been, you know, there's a church in Santa Ana that was moving into a new building, and we helped them get new chairs. You know, there's a church in New Jersey that needed to redo a basement for their youth, and so we helped them do that because that fit within our, you know, our burden and our passion.
Right.
The cohort, you know, taking six pastors that we're pouring into, you know, meeting with them throughout the year. And the focus was, and this is what we relayed to our body, is that we feel like if we can impact six pastors in a significant way, it's going to impact six churches.
Right.
And we're seeing, you know, that. And so all the other things, what's helped in knowing, okay, we can't do everything, but we can do this. It's helped in when the different requests come in.
Right.
Of knowing like, oh, no, that's a no, because we know this is our focus. Yep. You know, on the mission field, same thing. Our focus is church planning and coming alongside pastors and churches to help strengthen them, you know, on the mission field. And so when I get the email about the orphanage, or I want to get the email about, you know, this building over here that needs to be built, or I get the email about coming alongside something going on in Israel, you know, it's usually always the response is one of, you know, that's great. That's awesome. That's such, I see the need there, but this is what we know God wants us to focus on.
Right.
But then I'll say this. I always respond in this way. I say, but so we, in our budget, we have set aside, you know, our budget for the, for this purpose, to come alongside church planners, pastors, and other churches to help strengthen them and equip them, that, that we know is what our vision is. But usually every year at the end of the year, we have a surplus and we put, you know, a list of names together where we're going to pray about who to bless with some of that surplus. And so maybe that is the orphanage down in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is the, but it has been so freeing, you know, for me when these different requests come along to be able to say, you know, I know that this is what God has called us to.
Right.
You know, and so we're probably not going to be able to get involved in that, you know, because this is where our focus is and this is what we know that, you know, God has called us to. And that's been so great in order learning to be laser focused in that way. And I think of it in terms of, you know, I heard somebody put it this way once. It's the difference between being a shotgun blast.
Right.
That makes a, you know, shotgun blast makes like a lot of little tiny dents. The BB goes out and it makes a lot of little tiny dents in a whole bunch of areas.
Right.
Versus being a sharpshooter.
Right.
Where you're making a big dent in one or two or three areas.
Right.
And so we're trying to be sharpshooters in the things that we know that God has given us a burden and a passion.
Yeah. For. We saw that with Ukraine. The whole thing went down in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a burden to be involved in some way. Like you, our missions involvement is anchored in a local church. That's our approach to missions. Mm-hmm. We want to see any missionary endeavor has to be anchored in a local church. And so, you know, I reached out to two friends of mine, Nick Cady, who heads up the Cultivate Initiative with CGN and Pastors Whitefield Church. Well, he came out of Europe. You know that.
Yep.
Rod Thompson, same thing. And they're connected relationally with a lot of guys who are pastoring in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so I said, hey, I got people in my church that they're looking to give towards this. Yep. They're looking to help. And so I just said, you guys are connected with pastors, churches on the ground. And then that was a way that our vision could be realized through a crisis.
Yeah.
That, you know, a crisis of need and the, hey, we want to do something for this. Well, hey, guess what? We have a way that we can respond to this. That was really.
Yeah. We did the exact same thing on that. So good. Any other thoughts, guys, before we wrap this up? Anything that you feel like maybe we haven't touched on as relates to this particular subject?
Real quick, I'll just bullet these out. You guys can color them in if you feel like it. But, you know, I was talking to my wife this morning about this concept, you know, and I just started writing down a bunch of bullet points because each one of these are areas we could dig into longer about when we talk about limitations, whether they be our limitations, our staff's limitations. And so some of these are limitations that are just natural. Some of these are limitations because of the way God's wired us. Some of these are limitations because either sin in our lives or whatever. But our limitations could come from limited knowledge. They can come from a lack of character. Not as I spoke about earlier, not being faithful in little. Sometimes our limitations come from, you know, the fact that some of us are big plate people and some of us are small plate people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just how God's made you. You know, some people can just pile on a ton on the plate. Stress can be a limiter. Our time is a limiter. Our gifting is a limiter. Our spouse, you know, your spouse can be a limitation for you. seasons of life, family, employment, health issues, disabilities, all of these things are things that can bring limitations and bring their own set of, man, we got to work through this in different ways.
Yeah, which all of that makes me feel that, you know, an assessment, a regular assessment of just where you're at, using a list like you just produced for us, Ted, that's just so important to regularly step back and say, mm-hmm. how am I doing? How much can I add? What needs to come off my plate? Where do I need to refocus? And I think what we're all trying to say here is that when somebody taps into this in ministry, it actually leads to such incredible fruit.
Yeah.
You know, I know for me, when I feel that I'm operating in my sweet spot, I've got the time and the energy and all of that, I become, you know, I have dreams and mm-hmm. vision, and I become creative and expansive. When I'm just running on fumes, man, it's like, it's just survival.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not dreaming about tomorrow. I'm just right. trying to survive today.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of our brothers and sisters out there that are serving the Lord, that's probably the normative experience, right? Because it can be a real grind, and we sympathize with that. But to fight for that assessment, to say, no, I need that space. We're saying it because it leads to the best fruit in the church. It actually mm-hmm. makes a better impact than just the go, go, go mentality. Mm-hmm. So I love this. I love that you guys are talking about this
yeah.
with people, and kind of, it's almost like, you know, not that people out there need the permission of the leadership collective to, you know, organize their lives in a different way, but it's just so good to hear,
yeah.
you know, because it's a lot of times not really talked about. And so to get it out there, so healthy. Thank yeah. you guys.
Mm. I love that. And the one question I came up about the list there that you mentioned, Ted, was the idea of being a big plate versus a small plate, you know, individual. And, you know, just wondering, like, how do you figure that out?
Right.
And, you know, I think to me, it seems like the way you figure it out is by trying to put more on your plate,
yeah.
you know, and trying to maybe do more, and then realizing I can't do this.
Right.
You know,
right.
but 'cause sometimes I think all of us, but I meet guys sometimes who I think, you know, they think their capacity is bigger than it really is.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And they want to do more than maybe God really has intended them or called them to do. And so there is that place of kind of having to fail.
Right.
You know, and be honest. And I think this is really what it really comes down to, and you hit on this, Nate, is just being real and mm-hmm. honest with ourselves, and, you know, and that it's okay, and that having limitations,
right.
it's so freeing, and it brings you to a place of being in such better health.
Yeah.
Then, you know, when you're trying to spin all these different plates and carry more than, you know, than you can handle.
And it becomes incumbent upon us, and this is the delicate part, to have the courage to tell somebody when they've got too much on their plate.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with one of my guys recently where I was saying, look, on the one hand, I don't want to say no for my people. Because some people are big plate people, some people are small plate people, and so to paint them all with the same brush and say, you know, I'm not going to require, you know, everybody can only do this, that, and the other. Well, that's not everybody's capacity. That's not everybody's plate. So I try not to say no for people, but there are some instances where we have to say no for people, you know. Mm-hmm. And silly example, like for us, we have three services on Sunday. We tell people, you can work in the children's ministry, two of those services, but you can't work three.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to take one of those services and sit in the teaching. So we're saying no
yeah.
for them in that capacity, but we understand why we're doing that. And then as well, and you're exactly right for knowing who's big plate, small plate. For us, it's a matter of observing our people. For mm-hmm. us, it's a matter of introspection, just to understand how God's wired me, how God's made me. And then, you know, for you, something I know about you, because you and I did the same test and we got the same result, but we recently took an emotional IQ test. And what we found, what we discovered is I can handle a lot of stress, but I don't have a lot of empathy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you talk about limitations. I'm limited in, and that's a dangerous combination.
Yeah.
If you can handle a lot of stress, because, you know, especially,
everybody else is a wimp,
right?
Like, what's wrong with you?
When you're leading a staff, yeah, it's like you're driving everybody into the ground, and then you don't have a lot of empathy for the fact that some people can't handle it.
Yeah.
It's deeper than that, but
But I think that too, you know, has been for me a really healthy thing of coming to the realization that not everybody can run at the pace that I like to run at, and that's okay, you know, and that's, you know, that used to frustrate me, but now it's, you know, releasing me, but it is the observing, you know. I like to give people, you know, more than I think that they can handle, because sometimes they end up surprising themselves, and other times, you know, they're like, hey, can you take this off of my plate? Cause I can't do this. And being like, okay, you know, that's all right. But I think for us personally, and maybe somebody that's listening to this, the important thing is being honest,
right,
you know, and with yourself and being honest with whoever it is that you're working with. You know, I've had two hip replacements, and since I had them, there's a guy in our church who owns a gym in our city. And so he came to me and said, hey, I want to help in your recovery and I want my pastor to be healthy. So I'm going to set you up and I'm going to pay for it for you to meet with a trainer in our gym. And so I meet with this guy twice a week and we go through these routines together. And this guy's 30 years old. I'm almost 60. I'm going to turn 60 in a couple of months. He's 30 years old, a former wrestler. He is just like limber and, you know, as can be, flexible as can be. And he, sometimes he'll demonstrate this exercise he wants me to do. And I'm just like, bro, I can't do that. I'm never going to be able to do that. Can we do something else?
Right.
You know? And it's so humbling, you know? Right. And sometimes, you know, he's having me do, you know, I was doing this exercise yesterday with these, you know, 10-pound kettlebells.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tiny. I'm feeling like a total dork, you know,
right,
like I'm doing 10-pound kettlebells. And, but it's like, that's where I'm at on that particular exercise,
right,
you know, and I have to be okay. And it's, and I think one of the most wonderful things that we can do is come to that place where we release ourselves, you know, and are like, okay, I don't have to be like so-and-so. I don't have to be, you know, I don't have that gifting, and that's okay. This is what God has gifted me in, and this is what I need to focus on. And to me, I would hope that anybody listening to this, that would be the biggest thing that they'd take away,
right,
and be able to just walk in that freedom. And, you know, and even for the guys that are, you know, bivocational, or the guys who might, you know, be listening to this that have a, you know, little staff or no staff, I would just encourage you, because I remember being in that spot and that place, you know, when I was in Oregon. There are people, capable people in your body who have time and have ability and have the right heart, who would love to help if we'll just allow them to and give them opportunity, you know, and write the vision, make it plain so that those who read it may run with it, but then just release them so that you can focus on the things that you know God really, really wants you to do in this season of your life, in this season of your ministry.
Amen.
The verse that came to my mind comes from John's gospel, where when they came to John and said, hey, Jesus is baptizing all these people, they're not coming to you anymore, what's up? And he said a lot of things, but one thing he said, John 3:27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. And it's a little bit out of context to apply it in this way, but I've always taking that verse as a great encouragement in ministry, that God will put in my life what he wants to put in my life. And you know, we live in a time, it might be the first time in church history where pastors all over the place are saying to themselves, I could pastor thousands of people. Whereas in the past, you just wouldn't even think like that.
Right,
you know, yeah. It'd just be, what's going on in my village? What's going on in my neck of the woods? How far can my voice carry? Like 100 people, you yeah. know? So we just live in a different time. And I would just encourage people that are listening, you know, receive from the Lord what he wants to put in your life. Don't fall into that comparison trap. And I think I would also say to the lead pastors that are out there who have the opportunity to set the pace and the rhythm, not just for themselves, but for their teams and their church, mm-hmm. whether it's staff or volunteers, I'd encourage you to set expectations of having your people unplug and get mm-hmm. away. Especially the younger people that you have on your teams, they have never lived in a disconnected time or mm-hmm. world. So they're always on. And yeah. my encouragement to you, especially if you've got, you know, young pastors with families and all of that that they're trying to raise, is help them to create these healthy rhythms that we're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
And establish norms of just like, look, if I get an email that's stamped as coming at 11:30 p.m. from you, I'm not proud of that.
Right.
I rebuke that, yeah. you know, yeah. rather than, oh, way to go. You're just always accessible, you know, that kind of thing. Just
right.
have yeah. a plan. If there's an emergency, this is how I'll reach out to you. Otherwise, be sensible, you know,
yeah.
like just stuff like that's so important.
Nate, that's a really good observation. We had to put out a policy in our church to be able to say, look, this is when you all stop texting each other. This is when, and so in our policy, you know how it goes. Like sometimes you're thinking about something or whatever, and you just gotta, you know, 1 minute manager, I just gotta get this done. And so what we said is, you know, if it's after hours, send an email, because Nate will never answer it. no, we said send an email. And then that way everybody knows if you get an email, there's no expectation of responding to it, of reading it, anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's understood. I needed to get this out of my head and to you, and let's talk about it during business hours, you know? Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so it's very important. And also important to clarify what we're not saying in talking about the importance of establishing rhythms and times of disconnect to be able to connect with the Lord and all. What we're not saying is that if you're inclined to a fast pace in ministry, because, you know, my church, we are a fast-paced ministry. As a matter of fact, that's the hardest thing for new employees to adapt mm-hmm. to, is the pace of our ministry. And so what we're not saying is that you have to change the pace of your ministry. We're just saying that you have to put in some margin into that mm-hmm. and some space into that where people are not only encouraged to, but it's actually strategically thought through how people are going to be able to have that time of disconnect and
yeah.
quiet time with the Lord.
You know, one of the things that we've done as a staff the last few years that has been super helpful on this is every fall we'll sit down as a staff and we'll look at the coming year and we'll map out, you know, the year, and we'll be putting everything on the calendar. And, you know, we do it in a way where everybody can see the calendar, and then it gives opportunity for people to say, hey, that seems too close to this.
Right.
Could we move that? You know, could we move that a couple weeks, or could we move that to, you know, here? Because, you know, instead of me just setting that pace and being like, this is what we're doing, and, you know, get on board. And, you know, I've learned the need to be able to let them weigh in on that and help create the pace and help create the rhythm, you know, for our church. And so we've moved some things sometimes that were in the spring. We've moved to the fall because the spring was too busy, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just a thing where like, okay, this doesn't have to yeah. be here. We could move it there. And we did that as a team.
What I love really about helpful. That is that's so smart, not just for your church, but it's smart for your staff. So it's both and.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes our show for today. We hope that you enjoyed this two-part episode on limitations. And if the Leadership Collective podcast has been a blessing or help to you, would you please like and subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend? We would greatly appreciate that. If you have a question for us or a topic that you would like for us to address on the podcast, you can reach out to us at leadershipcollectivepodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to being with you next time on the Leadership Collective podcast.